You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into Let's Edition of ESPN SC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio by Craig Burley. A little later on the programme, Julian Laurent will be joining us to look ahead to PSG against Manchester City. But we kick things off by welcoming them in, Frank Leboeuf, Ali Moreno and Shaka Hislop with us as well to reflect on that 1-1 draw at Valdebebas between Real Madrid and Chelsea. It'll be Chelsea who deservedly took the lead, Christian Pulisic making it 1-0 and a brilliant goal from Karim Benzema make it 1-1. And that's how things will stand going into that second leg at Stamford Bridge. Craig, at the start, kick-off, if you offered Chelsea 1-1, they would have taken it. However, is it fair to say they'd be disappointed, maybe, that they didn't get more from this game, considering how much better they were?
I think so, and you mentioned one guy, and I think that could be the difference, possibly, come next week, and that's Karim Benzema. A natural striker, a natural number nine, a guy who's remains in form year after year. A guy who scored an utterly brilliant goal when Real Madrid were backs to the wall, when they're not playing well, when they couldn't keep the ball, when they couldn't stop Chelsea coming forward. And that, and the Timo Werner miss, and we can, and maybe Shaq's got a different opinion, and yeah, as a goalkeeper, you make yourself as big as you can. But I'm sorry, elite level, any level, professional, that's the simplicity of hitting the corner there. Not straight at him, where he gives himself a chance to make himself big, and he did brilliant, but not a great save for me, a real poor finish. And I think, ultimately, that could be the difference, but both sides will not be fearful. Second leg, we saw how balanced it was, but I think Chelsea can be particularly pleased with their first half an hour, the way that they set up with Pulisic and Mount dropping a bit deeper, and Pulisic being a threat, and Kante pushing on, to do to Real Madrid, which Liverpool never did to them.
Yeah.
And that stopped them playing. Liverpool allowed Real Madrid to play, and that's why they lost.
Frank, are you surprised how much control of this game Chelsea had?
That was almost 100% control of the game, and that's why it's frustrating, because the score should have been different. They should have won that game. And as Craig said, you don't know what's going to happen in the second leg. And somebody like Karim Benzema can turn the things down, because he did it in the first half where Real Madrid was so weak. And except him, except Karim Benzema, nothing was shot by Real Madrid. And it's only because of its fantastic volley that Real Madrid's got a draw today. But in terms of football, in terms of conviction, in terms of how you can deal with when you have the ball and when you don't have the ball, what Chelsea showed, it was absolutely perfect. But you have to kill the opponent when you have the chance to. And they don't do that. They didn't do that tonight, but it's mostly what they don't do during the beginning of the season. That's the main concern that I have with that club. But you cannot complain about what they wanted to do today. They did what they had to do, but they didn't score enough goals.
Ali, for Real Madrid, they would definitely take 1-1 considering that opening half an hour.
Absolutely. And if you're Real Madrid coming into this match, the one constant that you've had over the course of the season is the midfield three. And we have talked about them time and time again and how much they're able to impact the game and to control the game. Well, that wasn't happening today. That was not at all the case today for Real Madrid. Casemiro, who at the very least, when he's running around, at least he's kicking people. Not even today. He wasn't even getting close enough to go and kick people. A couple of challenges here and there, and that was it. But really not impacting the game. The possession of Toni Kroos, who that's usually automatic, not quite there today either. The level of activity from Luka Modric, not there. And so you didn't have qualities from them defensively. You didn't have qualities from them offensively. And then on top of that, I would have to ask a question to Zinedine Zidane. What was the role today of Marcelo? What is it that he was supposed to do out on the field? Because if you're going to play with a back three, those outside guys, Dani Carvajal on one side and Marcelo in particular down the left-hand side, well, you're going to have to be a presence defensively, but you're also going to have to be a presence in the attack. And he was neither. He just kind of floating around, sometimes taking an inside position. He's getting beaten behind, but not really a presence in the attack either. It felt like Real Madrid were playing with 10 men and Marcelo was just kind of running around trying to find his place on the field. So if you're Real Madrid, having said all of this, you take the 1-1 and go home and just think about yourself and prepare to as to what's happening next week. Because the truth of the matter is, they got lucky today. They were fortunate today. They were wobbly and hanging on to the rope and looking for the white towel. And guess what? You know, Chelsea just kind of let them hang in there just enough for Karim Benzema to do something special. Real Madrid were very fortunate today.
For Chelsea, Shaq, this is another good performance in a big game against a big team.
Yeah, it certainly was. Chelsea, for me, were by far the better of the two teams, particularly in the first half. If even the second half just kind of played out without either team offering an awful lot. On the one hand, you want to say, going into the second leg, there's absolutely no way that Real Madrid can be this bad, can be this substandard for another 90 minutes. But you've seen Chelsea stifle good teams. You saw them do exactly that to Manchester City in the Cup semi-final. You saw them do that through the first half. And you're absolutely right, Dan, as you were saying, Chelsea probably come away from this thinking that they deserve a lot more, but happy with the results as it stands.
So good save or bad finish, Jack? Timo Werner, Courtois.
As a goalkeeper, good save. Yeah. Listen, and the thing is for me, if you're Thibaut Courtois and you look up and you see Werner standing in front of you, you know it's a striker who is right now playing with absolutely no confidence, so you don't have to gamble. You don't have to gamble. You just have to stand your ground, stay big, and hope that he hits you. He's not going to go for the corners. You know that. He's just not in that kind of form. So I think Courtois recognises who it is, makes the right decision, makes a good save.
Was a good save from a keeper's point of view. But, you know, I saw somebody one journalist sarcastically put on social media, the way it's gone at the moment, they'll put it on his tombstone, Timo Werner, couldn't quite wrap his foot around it.
Yeah.
But that's not, you know, when Mount plays the ball to the back, I think it was Mount plays the ball to the back, and Pulisic, simple little cushion header back in, I can't tell you how simple a finish really that is, apart from the occasion, you know, it's bread and butter. That, as I say, could be the difference. But, you know, how many times did, in that first 20 minutes, somebody from the Chelsea midfield get in behind Kroos and Casemiro, and then they had the back three stroke back five going back towards their own goal, but didn't utilise that, you know, three on three, because it was a bad pass from Werner, it was a bad pass from Pulisic, it was a bad pass from Mount. And those are the little things that get away. But if you wonder why that happened, and I think, you know, this is why I don't think Real Madrid will be like this in the second leg, is because when Chelsea had possession with Mendy, when Real Madrid went for the press, which was a kind of half-hearted press, it was Vinicius on the left, it was Benzema, and it was Modric who pushed on the right. Now, once Modric pushes on the right, it's a 3-4-3. That leaves Casemiro and Kroos, and then Mount or Pulisic drop back in to give Kante and Jorginho the extra man, and Chelsea were able to pop it around, and before you knew it, they were running at Varane, Militao and Nacho. And that happened a lot of times. So, as Ali said, it was wobbly, it was half-hearted in terms of the press. But Chelsea will be disappointed because they didn't take full advantage, Dan, of some excellent possession and the chances. And Real Madrid will be, I think they'll be quite happy saying, wow.
You got away with one.
You know, this team have struggled a little bit in the Premier League this season, but they've got an experienced manager, they're on a roll, they're a tough nut to crack, they have got some good players. We did, as you said, got away with one.
Pulisic took his goal well.
No, he did, and he's a good player, and we know that. I'm sick to death of having to tell people there's no like paranoia. You shouldn't have any paranoia about any Americanisms. Some people have. They'll never get that out of their system. When we criticise or question him, it's for good reason. But he's a talent, and what he has to do, and he's starting to do it, is stay healthy, stay fit, keep the hamstrings right, keep the muscles right, and get a run of games. When he does that, and he gets a link up with Mount, and Werner, and he gets an understanding. Look, he was super calm and composed for his goal. I wasn't surprised. If it was Mason Mount with that great run, I wouldn't have been surprised. If it had been Timo Werner, that'd never been a goal. It'd never been a goal. He'd have panicked. He'd have taken the shot early. He'd have slapped it. He'd have miscontrolled it. But he did everything right. He looked up. He took his time. Goes around Courtois because he's got the pace. Super goal from a very, very good player who Thomas Tuchel's now seeing the fruits of trying to keep him fit. And that's the main thing for Christian Pulisic. It's keeping him fit and getting him a run of games.
Frank, as nice a finish it was from Pulisic, the defending from Real Madrid was, well, my kid's 10. You see that at that sort of level, everybody running to the line as opposed to not running towards the ball.
Yeah, that was a complete misunderstanding between the guys, you know, and I don't know what they were doing, but it's like they never played together. I think somebody was shouting to Nacho to go out and to go on Pulisic, but you don't have to deny the fact that Werner makes a very good run to give the space to Pulisic as well and confuse, in fact, the defenders, because maybe they thought that Pulisic will give the ball to Werner, and it's why, for example, Varane dropped dramatically to the touchline. But at the end of the day, it was mostly what Pulisic did who confused completely the defense and Courtois as well, and they couldn't do anything. And let's be positive. Let's say Pulisic did very well and forget about what the defense of Real Madrid did.
The only threat from Real Madrid throughout the whole game was Karim Benzema. He hit the post, Ali, and then just talk us through how good that finish is.
I think the best part of the finish, Dan, is the first touch with his head, being able to react to what was a flick-on header by Militao and then popping that ball up to himself to where now the volley becomes about the quality of the contact. And he could not have hit that any harder, any cleaner. I just think Karim Benzema is a different level sort of striker. And it's the sort of striker that if you're a team like, say, for example, Manchester City, you'd be winning this competition running away, and there'd be no doubt about it. He has taken his game over the last couple of years to a whole entirely different level. And he is indeed the reference point and the only point that you can highlight in this Real Madrid team. Vinicius was never the sort of player that we saw against Liverpool because he was never able to get in behind. But Real Madrid never really controlled the possession of the ball and also to allow Vinicius to threaten him behind. And overall, when you look at Real Madrid, the whole big picture, I just think that they haven't been able to recover from the Liverpool-Barcelona-Liverpool combo package. Physically, this team is not quite the same as what it was then. Mentally, not quite the same as what it was then. And if you're surprised to see Real Madrid played as poorly as they did today, well, you shouldn't be, because this is the way that they play against Getafe. This is the way they play against Betis leading up to this match. And the only surprising factor is, you know what? It's Champions League. It's semifinal. It's Real Madrid. They turn it on. Unable to turn it on today once again. And I can't repeat this enough. Real Madrid, fortunate. Lucky that they're still in this.
Benzema, 71 goals in the Champions League, Frank. None of them penalties, by the way. Yet, can't get in the France team, can't get in the France squad. They win the World Cup without him. What a life.
Yeah, that's crazy. You could think that it makes no sense. And for most people, it makes no sense. But there is something between Didier Deschamps and him. I don't really know the full story, all the ins and outs that I don't know. But no doubt that he's the best striker for France. He may be the best striker in the world. He showed it again today. He's a leader as well, because there is, I think, a Benzema dependence right now for Real Madrid. And the number of goals that he scored for in the Champions League, the title that he won for them speaks to himself. And he's a fantastic player. I want to see him back with the national team. We can see Ibrahimovic coming back for Sweden. So why couldn't we see Benzema coming back and having a little peace with Didier Deschamps? That would be fantastic for France, because definitely that guy is a plus for any team he can play in.
Do you know, when you think about the chats we've had recently about, you know, in particular Man City and the way they play. Aguero's had a troubled season with injury and COVID and stuff. But he's been fit on and off, and he still hasn't played him in big games. And, you know, you'll get people out there saying this is the modern way and the false nine and all this. And yeah, it's good to watch at times. But the death of the number nine isn't not quite yet. You know, the guy that can put the ball in the back of the net, the Lewandowskis, the Benzema, the Canes, there are others around Europe and the world. All this fancy football, and we saw it at the weekend again from Man City against Tottenham when, you know, Tottenham had no part in the game but might have nicked it if they got a breakaway, because City were, you know, spun chance after chance after chance because they didn't have a natural finisher. That may cost them in the Champions League, we don't know. But, you know, certainly if you have the chance to have people like Benzema and those kind of guys in your team, it's just a match winner. For all the good play and stats and passes, it comes down to the crux of the same thing. And it's finishes like what we saw from Benzema today that keeps managers in a job.
Who's going through, Shaka?
Right now, I have to say Chelsea. Just given what we have seen, and again, as much as I say you can't see Real Madrid being this poor for another 90 minutes, credit to Chelsea, who've done what they needed to do in the first leg, have shown that they can stifle good opposition. Going back to Stamford Bridge, I'm leaning Chelsea.
Ali?
The chance was today. The boogeyman was there to be killed, and you did not kill him. And a team like Real Madrid, you have to run them over and run them over again and come back around and run them over and stab them 1,000 times in order to kill them. They did not do that today. You allow Real Madrid to live, you're going to pay for it. Real Madrid advances.
Frank?
I would love to not believe what Ali just said, but I think they didn't kill the beast, and the beast might be back. I have to give the credit to Chelsea. I have to give my hope to Chelsea because they deserve to for us to believe in them because they did what they had to do. It's far from being done, but I give a chance to Chelsea.
Chelsea?
For this game today, Real Madrid had 3-0 draws in the last four. They're not exactly they're not exactly killing it. They're dangerous.
Yeah.
They're dangerous. And I was leaning Real Madrid before it. I'm leaning the other way now, primarily from what I saw. I think Real Madrid will be better. I don't think they'll play a back three. Be very surprised. But if I was Chelsea, I would be very hopeful in what I saw. But they're going to have to finish their chances. If Chelsea are ruthless, Chelsea.
It's finely poised, isn't it? It's going to be a good second leg at Stamford Bridge. Just a reminder, extra time as always available over on our YouTube. I don't know what he's doing. It's talking about hair, I think. Be sure to check the latest edition with Frank and with Shaka and Craig.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Wednesday's all about PSG against Manchester City, the first leg in Paris, according to the bookies. So it will be Manchester City who are the favourites to advance to the final over the two legs. Julien Laurent joins us, as well as Frank and Craig, who are still with us. Jules, this is what it's all about, isn't it? As a football fan, you couldn't ask for much more than PSG against Manchester City.
No, that's right, Dan. And I mean, after we saw what happened between Bayern and PSG, maybe the two best games that we've had this season, all competitions, all leagues put together, I think this one could be maybe even better. If you think about it, I think PSG will have a similar approach to the Bayern game, certainly at the start of this first leg. City, we know it's all about the possession of the ball and all that movement. But on paper, it will be a fantastic game. I just hope that the PSG superstars, the Mbappe and Neymar and Di Maria, Verratti, who is back for this game, who missed the Bayern Munich clash, by the way, will be at the top as well and be able to take on that City defence.
And good thing is, Craig, you got pretty much both sides at full strength.
Yeah, it's just, you said, what more could you ask for? I mean, apart from being a full house.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, God, don't put a downer on it.
Well, I mean...
It's great. We're looking forward to... Oh, there's no one in the crowd. Well, why do you have to do that?
Well, because you're normally the guy that sits here and going, these are two great teams, it's going to be a rubbish game.
I've never said
you
that.
You do it all the time.
Don't do it at all. I'm just saying, this is exactly what you want. And you automatically go, well, no one's there.
Yeah, because I want fans there. You said it's exactly what you want, and that's not exactly
But they're not there, so let's not go glass half empty. Let's go, oh, glass half full. This is going to be brilliant.
I hope so. I do hope so. I'm intrigued by the team lineups, obviously.
Which in particular are you more intrigued by?
Manchester City, because I think PSG's is more simplistic if he's depending on fitness.
Right.
I think Manchester City's...
Now, it's interesting here, this is the proposed signing level, because you and Nadim had a discussion on Sunday about whether or not it should be Laporte or Stones.
Well, it was Jurgen and Frank as well. Well, the discussion wasn't so much as was it John Stones going to start because it's a toss of a coin. It was, is John Stones' form a worry?
Right.
John Stones has been excellent for 90% of the season, but I think it's irrefutable that in the last three or four games for club and country, the little mistakes are starting to creep in. I also think the left back is a toss of a coin, Zinchenko, Cancelo. I think Cancelo is the better footballer. Is Zinchenko a better natural defender? And then one other thing that I'm looking at, and I don't know what will happen, is whether he'll go with two holding midfielders and leave out maybe a Silva or a Mahrez.
So maybe Fernandinho in the side.
Yes, he has done that before, not often, but he has done it before this season, primarily because Paris Saint-Germain are such a threat with that pace that we saw against Bayern Munich with about five or six key players out.
Jules, I imagine Pep was asked about the possibility of playing a striker in this game.
Yeah, he was, and I mean, he didn't tell us what he will do or won't do. He certainly spoke a lot as well about Neymar and Kylian Mbappe, but in terms of his own team, I think we can all agree that there will be no number nines tomorrow, because in all those big games he plays with the false number nine that has worked so well for them. I think that this team is certainly more used to playing without someone like Gabriel Jesus or Sergio Aguero, and more with Phil Foden or Kevin De Bruyne or Bernardo Silva or whoever plays in that false number nine role, especially in those big games, that I think it would be quite crazy from Pep to change that and go with Gabriel Jesus or Sergio Aguero for the game.
I suppose, Frank, like, City haven't been steamrolling teams. Borussia Dortmund, for example, in the last round we saw just at the weekend against Spurs, where they had a lot of ball but didn't create enough chances in which maybe a striker, if he was on the pitch, he would have taken them.
Yeah, maybe, but it's what they do, and they've done for a while now. Mm. And we didn't see most of the season Kun Aguero, and Jesus hasn't been very, very good, you know, and efficient when he played at front. So it may be the best solution for Pep Guardiola, and he knows that he can find his real balance to the team with a Gundogan or De Bruyne going forward and finding some spaces behind the defence and scoring goals. I think Gundogan never scored that much gold during his own career. Just a word on Laporte, if you may. Mm. That's a big slap in the face. You have to be psychologically very, very good when you're a coach to put the guy who was the man of the match, I guess, was the guy who gave you the win like 3 days ago, and you put him on the bench. I would have been Laporte. I don't know what would have been my reaction. That's a big slap in the face, really.
Yeah, and you two guys will know him better than me, but he seems to be a guy that would not take that kind of thing particularly well. Who knows what Guardiola's going to do? I mean, one of the things he has done since he stepped out of the Bayern, the Barcelona shoes, in this point in competitions, both these big clubs, Bayern and Man City, I think he's tried to overthink things. And he's complicated issues. I don't think we'll see him do that now because kind of know the structure they're going to play. It's interesting, the easiest part of the team now to pick and select is actually nobody's going to play up front.
Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it? You know, normally you'd be like, nah, Aguero's going to play. Or, you know, that's the easiest part of this team to select now. And I think the little inclination that if you had a smidgen of thought it was going to happen would have been, if Aguero was going to start, I think he would have got half an hour in the cup final, Dan. Yeah. I think he'd have got half an hour for sharpness ahead of this game in Paris, but it's not going to happen.
Jules, who needs this more? This is obviously, for both sides, the ultimate goal. This is why the owners came in. This is what they wanted to win. So, having said that, who kind of needs this Champions League victory more?
It's a great question. I mean, PSG came so close last season, and you're right, this is the holy grail for both clubs, really. And when you know as well the rivalry between Manchester City and Abu Dhabi and PSG and Qatar, who are cousins and, yeah, hate each other. And politically, this is a huge game for that area of the world and also for those two clubs. There's so much at stake than just, I was going to say, just qualifying for a Champions League final. But PSG came so close and they almost touched it. And yet they want to go back there with the kind of experience that they gained last season. For City and Guardiola, this is the first time in the semi-final. This is actually the first time for City since they beat PSG in the quarterfinal 5 years ago. So this is a long time. And again, I think being the Holy Grail, the pressure is as big on each other, but maybe more for City because a final is something that they've never done before. Whereas PSG, as we said, were there last year, maybe a bit unlucky to lose it against Bayern, if you look at the way the game went. So maybe for City, the need to get there, even just to the final, is maybe stronger than anything else.
And their manager.
Yeah, it's crazy. Jules mentions it. Yeah, City have never been in the semi-finals under Pep Guardiola.
Yeah, and that is not to suggest that Pochettino is not under any pressure, because that would be false. There is always pressure at this level of football when you've got this talent at your disposal and you're at this stage. There's always pressure. But internally, there has to be immense pressure in Guardiola's mind. He can bat it off all he wants in press conferences and all that sort of nonsense. He can portray the happy, smiling, you know, positive coach, which he does. But inside, he knows that outside Barcelona, and he talked about it himself when somebody said to him at the cup final at the weekend, you've won all these trophies. He said, I've managed big clubs and rich clubs. Yes, but only with Barcelona have you delivered the pot of gold that is the Champions League. And I just wonder, behind the scenes, how anxious is he and what's that portraying to his players, rather than a slightly more relaxed Pochettino who's really only got his foot in the door.
Yeah.
And if he loses, we'll say, I'm still trying to rebuild this squad. That'll be manager speak. But the City manager, whilst he won't tell you, I think is under huge pressure to deliver this trophy.
That's an interesting point that Craig brings up, Frank. Then how does that affect the dressing room? How does that affect the players?
It does affect the players. They know what everybody expects from them, and they also want something that they've been hired for. I'm sure that all players that have been hired from boss club, but mostly from Manchester City, know that at some point they have to deliver. Deliver is not only the FA Cup when you mention Manchester City. It's of course the Premier League, but it's the Holy Grail, as Jules just said. Winning the Champions League is what Manchester City and the board have been waiting for so long. And it would be the same for Paris Saint-Germain, a little bit less. Don't forget, I just want to remind you that Paris Saint-Germain, Manchester City is just a semi-final. Mm. And Pochettino is not under big pressure right now. But if the final is Paris Saint-Germain, Chelsea, with Tuchel being the coach of Chelsea, then it will feel the pressure.
Oh, God. Jules will be very busy leading up to that final. Crikey. Let's get some prediction then, Jules. What will score be tomorrow and who will go through overall?
I think PSG will go through. That will surprise you as an answer, of course. And I think they will win 2-1 tomorrow. I mean, Kylian Mbappe, remember February 2017 when he was at Monaco, when he was only 18 years old, and he had that, his first start in the Champions League with that incredible performance at the Etihad. Monaco did lose that first leg, 5-3, but they went on to qualify in the second leg where he scored as well. Again, he scored in both legs. And I think that memory against City and Pep, we will see a bit more of that tomorrow.
Frank?
I see a draw tomorrow, but I see Paris Saint-Germain going through because of Mbappe in the second leg finding some spaces behind the Manchester City defence.
Craig?
I see a narrow win for PSG tomorrow, and I'm sticking with a couple of weeks ago, PSG
to go through,
to go through off the back of
John Stones' own goal.
No, just the pace. just the pace in behind Manchester City from a much stronger PSG side than put Bayern Munich.
It's going to be brilliant, isn't it? Despite the fact there's no fans. Gab and Jules look ahead to the Champions League matches in some detail in the latest edition of their podcast. They're joined by Nader Manua. Be sure to check it out.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show.
Can you
Thank
imagine
you
that
much.
Football Americas with Sebi and Herc, with Pulisic scoring?
Yep. It'd be exciting.
I saw them before the game. How many times do you think he'll get tackled?
Well, there you go. I think Sebi said put a bet on him scoring, so maybe he made some money. Stay tuned. Extra Time is next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Craig Burley. Craig, that's quite a snazzy new glasses case. I haven't seen that before.
No, that's...
What's happened?
I had that one at home.
Right.
I bought them, and my daughter and my wife said they're women's glasses.
Right, OK.
They're a little sparkly.
Oh, that's, well, it suits you. Brings
and
out
and the, glasses had a, the glasses had a little... this isn't them. They had a little sort of... They wasn't diamonds, but my...
They
said there was diamonds here. And so they... the disdain they showed at me for wearing them. Anyway,
right.
They don't have that problem now because the puppy ate them.
Perfect.
Well, I didn't eat them, he broke them.
Right.
So this is a new pair.
Wow.
Which I presume are actually for men.
Right, good. I'm glad that I asked.
That was the
glad
case.
Glad that I asked. Blimey.
The sparkly case. That's a clang of stuff.
Meanwhile, we've got Shaka with us and Frank. Frank, who broke his phone because he was taking one of his selfies that we now know that he likes to put up on Instagram. And you got, what, body oil all over the phone? And now you're down with this little phone.
I broke it. I broke it because I was working for ESPN. It was on my knee. And I got up forgetting that I had on and it broke. So I have the iPhone 4 that nobody has in the world anymore because it's so small and so useless. So I can't receive a text when our
I think
producer
good,
is texting me. So
that could make my hands look big, actually, holding that.
I don't want to know what he was doing when body oil broke his phone.
Because he covers himself for his Instagram selfies.
Do you know Shaka puts glasses on to try and make himself look intellectual?
Yeah, when he's doing his NASA. When he's doing his NASA Zoom calls, that on.
See if I catch my puppy. He's 8 months now. If I catch him once more like this...
Yeah, right? Beautiful.
And I'm chasing him around the freaking house, which that's what happens. And I'm not the quickest, never was, even less now.
How long will it take Werner, if ever, Craig, to regain his confidence and show his ability that he clearly has? Is a transfer out of Chelsea necessary?
No, I don't think so, but ultimately he's going to have to... Why is there always noises from his...
It's Shaka. It's just Shaka heavy breathing.
Can't he do a show without heavy breathing in our earpiece?
It's just his lack of fitness.
There's nobody here!
Yeah, but you don't know you're doing it.
It's just your breathing, Shaka.
It's your breathing. Try not and breathe. Full stop.
He's snoring.
I mean, put the heating on, break with tradition, do something.
Why would put the heating on? Make him breathe.
Wake up, Shaka.
I think it's a bit early for Werner, would be the answer, to be throwing the baby out with the bathwater. But yeah, I mean, in terms of expectations, he's been disappointing so far.
Is Eden Hazard, Frank, the worst Galactico signing ever?
If he's not the worst, he's not that far.
No, he is. He's definitely the worst. What a complete and utter waste.
Who decides who's a Galactico rather than just a signing?
Well, I suppose if you look at the ones that have joined, yes.
If I was going to, well, not me, but you go in there and say, I'm not a Galactico.
Yes, well, he clearly is a Galactico. Because it's Eden Hazard, one of the best players in the world that you spend a lot of money on.
Just puts pressure on yourself.
Well, yes, but you think you'd be able to take that pressure.
I think Real Madrid signed a French player.
Yes.
Julien Faubert.
Flaubert.
But he was definitely not a Galactico.
Yeah. He signed. Yeah, so maybe that one was the worst. He even recognized himself that he didn't realize and didn't know why they called him. Yeah. Yeah, so Flaubert was the worst, maybe.
Yeah, but if you think of like the Galacticos, you think Kaká, Ronaldo, Cristiano Ronaldo, Michael Owen, David Beckham, Luis Figo.
Robinho, was he there?
Yeah, Robinho. Yeah. It wasn't really a Galactico, though.
How the hell do you differentiate?
Well, because you got to be like one of the big, like Cannavaro. He was a Galactico when he came. Like a Ballon d'Or winner, somewhere like that.
Ballon d'Or.
What's the point of that?
Let's send another 75-year-old journalist to the Ballon d'Or again. Nonsense.
How many years ago was that?
Was it defender from Newcastle?
We had to hire a freaking charter jet just to get our journals over there.
Yeah, Jonathan Woodgate. Yeah, he was a big failure.
Was he a Galactico?
Yeah, he was injured and then on his debut he scored an own goal and he got sent off.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't.
No.
He wasn't a Galactico.
No.
Woodgate? No.
All right, okay.
No.
And I'm so pleased I didn't sign for Real Madrid in 99 because you would have wondered, you know, if I would believe to a Galactico.
Why didn't you sign, Frank?
So I'm so pleased. I was pleased at Chelsea. I didn't want to. They wanted to put Sanchez out. And they wanted me to play with Hierro.
Yeah.
So I think I thought it was a bad idea because I think we couldn't combine together. We're kind of same type of player, not really good defenders. So, and I was pleased at Chelsea. So I stayed at Chelsea, and it's maybe a little regret, I would say.
Yeah. Now you're here with us.
Can you say no to Real Madrid?
That's very thoughtful of you, Frank. Yeah, I mean, what's happened to you since?
Yeah.
Why?
It's very deep.
Why you say that? I'm going to wear my glasses to talk to you about
that. Everyone's wearing glasses.
You know, no, but that's a very thoughtful response to a transfer that you didn't think it was going to fit rather than just... go for it.
Yeah, you made a lot of money as well, Frank, surely.
Not about the money, Frank. You know what he's got in Luxembourg?
How do you go from that to drowning a phone in baby oil?
Yeah, and now be using an iPhone.
Well, you know,
four.
And now,
time passed.
Yeah.
Ballon d'Or, you even managed
time
to get
passed,
that in.
Time passed, you know.
Frank, how does that conversation even start? Yeah. Real Madrid ring up your agent, he says, do you want to go? And you say, well...
No, they ring up the tea lady at the club. Who do you think?
Some of us haven't played professional football, and I know you didn't have this problem with Real Madrid trying to get you, but no. I'm just intrigued as to how it plays out.
Oh, sorry, Chelsea and Celtic small clubs?
Yeah, the agent
compared to Real Madrid.
Me.
Oh,
compared to Real Madrid.
Oh, you win the argument. Go on, Frank.
Okay. The agent called me, and I think the coach, the head coach was John Toshak.
Yeah.
And he saw me playing like 3 or 4 months before in semi-final of the Cup Winners' Cup in Spain. I don't remember which team it was against, and he wanted me. And again, I had a good flair because he was sacked like 2 months after. So it would have been it could have been a nightmare for me. So I'm pleased that I didn't sign for Real, and I was very thoughtful, Craig.
Yeah, you know, very thoughtful.
Every matters.
Very. Shaka, should Pep start Kun Aguero tomorrow as Man City do lack the presence of a proper number nine, not only to finish, but also to give extra space for De Bruyne to pick up passes?
I like Kun Aguero a lot, and you see the value of a striker today with Karim Benzema. If he's fit and he's in form, given what you've seen from City lately, dominating the ball, but not being able to convert as they were doing just a few weeks ago. Yeah, I think Kun Aguero playing without out and out striker gives them that finishing power that maybe they've lacked over recent weeks.
Another question for you, Shaka, from the same person, about the same topic. Who do you think should start against PSG, Walker or Cancelo, as Man City at some point need to address Mbappe?
I do not know, and I do not care.
I'll tell you now. Walker will start.
Okay. I know.
Walker will start because he's been starting, and Walker will start because he's quicker.
He's fast, isn't he?
He's quick.
Fast.
So he'll start.
Fast.
And the answer to the question would be, is Cancelo starting or Zinchenko starting? On the other side, that's the question.
Okay.
And is John Stones? Yeah. Or Aymeric Laporte starting?
Did Shaka ever believe he had to be a much better goalkeeper to get a chance to play over European counterparts because he came from a smaller footballing nation?
Yes, I did.
Another one. Thin skin, paranoia. Oh, yeah.
No, I wasn't paranoid about it at all.
What? Sorry, Shaq.
I'm just saying, I wasn't paranoid about it at all. That motivated me.
Right, but did you think it was there?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I felt it was there. You recognize?
Do you think people... Do you think people didn't judge you? Don't you think people judged you on whether you could be a good goalkeeper rather than be, he's from Trinidad and Tobago? No?
Yeah, both.
No, but surely as a manager, a manager is only judging a player on every position in terms of their ability, not where they come from, surely.
All I'm saying is, certainly in terms of managers, I've never felt that way with the managers I've played under. But at times I felt I was unfairly treated or criticised in the press, let's say. And that or what people say in the press shapes opinion.
Paranoia. Told you, never thought the big man would be paranoid. Yes.
But it's something I talk about even now with Keylor Navas. I say that all the time. One of the best in the world still doesn't get the respect he deserves. And I think a big part of that reason is because of where he's from.
Where's Navas from again?
Costa Rica.
Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Costa Rica.
CONCACAF.
See, he shouldn't.
That's
let
a
that...
very good example, Shaka.
Yeah, there you are.
Very
Craig,
good example.
Craig comes from a place of privilege of Scotland.
Yeah, who were beaten by Costa Rica at a World Cup in 1990, I believe. So I should be paranoid as well.
Craig, final question. Have you had any?
I think Shaka's problem was when he came out and dropped the first 6 crosses at training. I think that was the problem.
Dear. Craig,
the import of food.
Craig, have you had any close encounters with bears or any other animals on the golf course recently?
No, not recently. Last year, not close.
Stevie was telling us the story of when he pretended a bear was chasing you, and you panicked.
Well,
paranoid about bears.
Well, no, there was actually a bear.
Paranoid.
There was actually a bear in the vicinity.
Yeah.
But we were allowing it to walk behind the green back up into the woods. It was a kind of small cubbish bear. And then he decided he thought he was winding me up. I didn't.
He said you fell for it, hook, line and sinker. You were very scared.
He'll tell you anything.
He said you ran home crying.
Yeah, I probably did, yeah. Left my car in the golf club car park.
That was it. Done. I think we are done. I think that brings us to the end of
Ballon d'Or
time. Why did you bring up?
Because you managed to get the Ballon d'Or, right?
I don't
want a Ballon d'Or to be
just
a
crowbarring it in
does
there.
That mean
that's it, 75 journalists will be going
does
again.
That only mean 75
yeah.
in a jet?
How do you remember that?
I tell you what,
a few years ago
a fair journalist spent less time on TV, radio and podcast and more time breaking some stories,
right?
Things might get on a lot better.
That's it, that brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much. Be sure to
never off the telly
tomorrow. We'll be reflecting on PSG against Manchester City. What a game that should be.